You are listening to IP Management Voice, your podcast about the world of IP and IP management. We talk about the smartest minds in the knowledge economy so that you can learn from them. If you want to know more, you can subscribe to our newsletter and research the latest topics on our content platform, Dplex, with the world's most important experts on IP and IP management. The content featured in this episode on the anatomy of valuable patents comes from Mustafa Chakir.
All right, get ready, because today we're going deep, deep into patents.
Patents, I know.
I know. Maybe not the most exciting thing in the world, but...
It can be.
It can be. And we're going to look at why. What makes a patent valuable? Like, really valuable.
That's right. Think of it like you've got this amazing idea, a game changer. How do you make it real, you know?
Yeah, how do you make it something solid?
Exactly. And that's where knowing how a valuable patent is put together really matters.
And that's what we're looking at today, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got this article, The Anatomy of a Valuable Patent.
Yes.
By Mustafa Chakir. Now, this guy's not just some random expert.
Oh, no.
He's the co-founder of Patent Thief, president of LES Turkey, recognized as a top IP strategist by IAM. I mean, the guy's got, what, like 14 years?
He knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff, so we're in good hands.
Yeah.
And he lays out this really cool framework in the article called the 10 power factors.
Yes.
And these are like the things that separate, you know.
The good from the bad.
Yeah. The good for the bad patents. The ones that could really.
Make a difference.
Make a difference.
Exactly.
So let's jump into it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Power factor number one. Solving a real problem. This sounds obvious.
Right.
But I think it's worth emphasizing, you know.
It is.
Your patent needs to solve a problem people actually have.
You can't just invent something for the sake of inventing it.
Right. It can't just be a cool gadget.
Yeah, it has to actually address a need in the market.
Exactly. And Chakir, he uses this great example in the article of this company called Dermalex.
Right.
And they developed this patented technology for wound dressings.
Interesting.
Yeah, like a niche thing, right?
Right.
But they saw a problem and they were like, we can fix this.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? I mean, did they just get a patent and like become millionaires overnight?
No. I mean, Chakir, he describes it as this like 7-year journey to make it happen, to commercialize this thing.
7 years.
7 years. They had to get venture capital. They partnered with like a huge pharmaceutical company. And then they eventually sold the patent. So, I mean.
So it's a long process.
Yeah. It's not a get rich quick scheme or anything.
No, but. Their product's out there now.
Right.
And it's actually helping people.
Mm-hmm. That's the key.
So it shows you, like, a patent, even for something like wound dressings.
Have a real impact.
Have a real impact.
It's solving a real problem.
Okay, so we've got to solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But then Chakir says, okay, but it's not enough to just solve a problem. You also need invention market fit. What is that?
Okay, so... You might have a great solution to a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if nobody wants to use it, then...
What's the point?
Imagine you invent, like, the most amazing self-folding laundry basket.
I would buy that in a heartbeat.
Right. But what if it costs, like, $500?
Oh.
Not so appealing anymore.
Maybe not.
Right. So invention market fit is finding that balance between you're solving a problem... Mm-hmm. But people actually want it, and at a price they'll pay.
Okay, so it has to be practical. It has to be something that people will actually use.
Exactly.
I got it.
All right.
Okay, so that's two power factors down.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
Well, I think we got to think even bigger now.
Okay.
Market potential.
All right.
So let me ask you this.
Okay.
Would you rather invent, like, a revolutionary toilet brush or, like, a slightly better paperclip?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Right.
Well, the toilet brush sounds cooler.
Yeah.
But everyone uses paperclips.
Exactly.
Right.
Market size matters. Like, how many people could potentially use your invention?
Makes sense.
Right. That's going to make your patent much more valuable.
Okay.
So we're thinking big here.
Thinking big.
But it's not just about size.
Okay.
You also need to think about, like, what makes your invention stand out? How is it better than what's already out there?
Right. The competitive advantage.
Exactly. And can it adapt and grow with the market? You know, can it scale up?
So you've got to be thinking ahead.
Always thinking ahead.
Okay, so that's three power factors down.
Mm-hmm.
We're making good progress.
We are.
But now I think it's time to get into the legal stuff.
All right.
Which can be a little intimidating. But
it's necessary.
It is. So Chakir calls this fourth power factor enforceable claims?
Okay, so enforceable claims, they're like the backbone of your patent, legally speaking.
Okay.
Like, imagine your patent is like this fortress protecting your invention.
Mm.
Your enforceable claims, those are the walls.
Got it.
They have to be strong. They got to be clearly defined and able to like stand up in court, you know?
So if someone tries to steal your idea,
mm-hmm.
you can actually sue them.
And win.
And win if your claims are strong.
Right, because if they're weak,
then you're in trouble.
It's like having holes in your walls.
Yeah, it's an open invitation for people to like infringe on your patent.
Okay, so strong claims equal strong protection.
Exactly.
All right, so we've built our fortress.
We've got our strong walls or claims in place.
Right.
What's next?
Now we got to make sure we haven't built our fortress on somebody else's land.
What does that even mean?
That's the fifth power factor, freedom to operate.
Okay.
So basically, you got to make sure that your invention doesn't infringe on any existing patents.
So it's like doing a background check.
Yeah, like a patent background check. Imagine you design this amazing new car.
Okay.
Right? But then it turns out someone else already has a patent on like the steering wheel design.
Oh, no.
Right. So freedom to operate, you know.
So you're not stepping on anyone's toes.
Yeah, you're not stepping on any toes. You're making sure you have the legal freedom to, you know.
To actually make your invention.
Exactly.
Okay, that's actually really important.
It is. It can save you a lot of headaches down the road.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground already.
We have.
Solving a problem, market fit, strong claims, freedom to operate.
Mm-hmm.
What happens once we've got all that figured out?
Well, now we can start thinking about, you know, making some money from this patent.
Ooh, now we're talking.
This is where strategic licensing potential comes in. Power factor number six.
Licensing. Okay.
Yeah. So think of it this way. You've got this amazing invention, right? But you don't necessarily want to build a factory, start mass producing it yourself.
Right. It's too much.
Too much.
Yeah.
So licensing lets you kind of rent out your invention to other companies who can then, you know, make it and sell it.
So you're finding the right partners.
Exactly. Strategic licensing, finding those partners who can take your invention and really run with it.
I like it.
And, you know, having a diverse patent portfolio, that can make you even more attractive to potential licensees.
How so?
Well, it's like you're offering them more options, right? You've got a whole buffet of intellectual property.
Oh, I like that analogy.
So it's not just about one single patent.
Well,
it's about building a collection.
Exactly. A robust portfolio.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm seeing the strategic side of patents now.
It's not just about protecting your invention. It's about, like,
building a platform.
Building a platform.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm with you.
Awesome.
So what's next?
It's time to go global.
Global.
Global domination.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Slow down.
Okay, okay. Power factor number seven is protection power.
Mm-hmm.
And that means thinking beyond just your own country.
Okay.
You got to think about protecting your patent in all the key markets around the world.
So you're not just getting a patent in, say, the U.S.,
yep.
You're thinking worldwide from the start.
Exactly. I mean, there are different strategies you can use, like first to file, the Paris Convention route.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Too many legal terms.
I know. It can get complicated.
Yeah.
But the point is, you got to choose the right approach for your invention and where you want to sell it.
Got it. So international patent strategy is key.
It is.
All right. So we've gone global.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our patent protected around the world.
Right. Now we got to make sure no one tries to, you know, sneak in and steal our treasure.
So we're booby-trapping our patent.
Not exactly, but we do need to make it easy to defend.
Okay.
That's where power factor number eight comes in. Ease of infringement detection.
Okay, infringement detection. That sounds important.
It is. Think of it like you're installing a high-tech security system in your fortress.
I like that analogy.
Right. So if someone tries to copy your invention, it's like an alarm goes off.
I got it.
So, you know, maybe you incorporate like unique features or markers that act like a digital fingerprint.
So if someone tries to make a knockoff,
yeah,
you can tell right away.
Exactly.
And then you can sue them.
Exactly. It's much easier to enforce your rights when you can prove that infringement.
Okay. So ease of detection is a good thing.
A very good thing.
Got it. Okay. So we've got our global protection,
mm-hmm.
our high-tech security system.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
All right. So as you keep developing your invention,
yeah.
Remember, your patent's value is going to keep increasing. It's like leveling up in a video game.
So it's not just about the idea.
No.
It's about showing that you're actually making progress.
Exactly. That's power factor number nine, stage of development.
Got it.
So imagine, like, you're pitching your invention to investors,
mm-hmm.
right? You're going to show them a rough sketch. or a working prototype.
The prototype, for sure.
Exactly. Actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
So the further along you are in the development process,
the more valuable the patent.
Exactly. They want to see prototypes, testing data, maybe even regulatory approvals.
Oh, so it's not just about the patent itself.
Yeah.
It's about showing that you're making this thing a reality.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm getting it.
Good.
So we've almost covered all 10 power factors.
Almost.
What's the last one?
All right, number 10, this is the grand finale.
Hit me with it.
Bundle type patent portfolio.
Okay, remind me, what was that all about again?
Remember that smartphone analogy?
Yeah, the buffet of IP.
Exactly. So instead of just patenting like one tiny aspect of your invention, you're creating a whole web of protection around it.
Like a force field.
Yeah, like a force field. It makes it much harder for competitors to copy you.
I see. So it's like a multi-layered approach.
Exactly.
To patent protection.
It makes your overall technology much more valuable.
Wow. Okay. So we've covered all 10 power factors. That was a lot.
It was a lot.
But I feel like I understand patents so much better now.
Good. That's the goal.
It's not just about legalities. It's about strategy.
Exactly.
Innovation. Building a future for your invention.
And that's what makes it so exciting.
It really is. But wait, there's more.
There's more.
We've only just scratched the surface here.
That's right. In part two, we're going to look at some real-world examples of patents that have changed the game.
Ooh, I like that.
We'll see how these 10 power factors actually played out in real-life scenarios and how they led to like some of the most successful inventions in history.
All right, stay tuned then, because we're going to explore everything from historical breakthroughs to like cutting-edge technologies all through the lens of these 10 power factors.
It's going to be fascinating.
That's going to be great. See you in part two.
Welcome back to our deep dive. I'm ready to see how these 10 power factors play out in real life.
All right, let's put those factors to the test then. Let's go back in time.
Okay.
To 1876, Alexander Graham Bell's patent for the telephone.
The telephone. Okay, now that's a classic.
It is. So first, did it solve a real problem?
Well, yeah. Back then, you know, if you wanted to communicate long distance, it was letters. And that could take forever.
Exactly. So problem solved.
Check. What about invention market fit? I can't imagine many people were like, I'm good with letters.
Right. The telephone was like this instant connection across huge distances. It was huge for businesses, for governments, you name it. The market potential was just massive.
So that's a check, too.
Check.
Enforceable claims. Did Bell have any trouble there? You know, with an invention that big, you always get people trying to copy it.
Right.
But Bell's patent, it was well-written, strong claims.
So he could defend it.
He could defend it.
It's amazing to think. Like, the telephone led to so much of what we have today.
Mm-hmm.
Mobile phones, the internet. Like, it all started with that one invention.
It's a ripple effect.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a classic example. What about something a bit more recent?
All right, let's fast forward to, like, the late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
The MP3.
The MP3. Okay, that little file changed everything.
Okay, yeah. Before MP3s, sharing music digitally, it was a nightmare.
Oh, I remember those days.
Huge file.
Hours to download.
Hours, and the quality was awful.
Yeah, the MP3 was a game changer.
It really was. Made it so easy to store music, share music, revolutionized the whole industry.
But did it face any challenges, like patent-wise?
I mean, it was a new technology, right? So figuring out the patent protection in this digital world, it was tricky. Plus, you had the music industry. They were kind of skeptical at first.
Right. They probably thought it was going to, like, destroy their business.
Exactly. But the inventors, they persevered.
And look what happened. iTunes, Spotify, all those streaming services we have today, that all came from the MP3.
It did. One little file.
Crazy. Okay, I'm sensing a theme here. The telephone, the MP3, they both solved real problems and they had like massive potential reach.
You're getting it. Those are two of the biggest factors.
Okay, last one. Give me something really cutting edge, something that's like shaping the future right now.
Okay, CRISPR-Cas9, gene editing.
CRISPR, okay. I've heard of it, but explain it to me like I'm five.
All right, imagine being able to edit the very building blocks of life.
Okay.
DNA.
All right.
That's what CRISPR does. It lets scientists make super precise changes to DNA sequences. And that has implications for medicine, agriculture.
Whoa. Are we talking like curing genetic diseases, engineering crops, designer babies? Like, this is getting sci-fi.
It sounds like sci-fi.
Yeah.
But it's becoming reality. The patent's still new, but it's considered one of the most valuable in the world.
Okay. Yeah. I can see why. The potential is enormous.
Yeah.
But how does it fit into those power factors?
Well, does it solve a real problem? I mean, scientists have been trying to figure out how to accurately edit genes for ages.
Okay, that's a big problem.
Big problem.
I'm solved. Market potential.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, we're talking revolutionizing healthcare, agriculture, maybe even beyond that.
It sounds like CRISPR ticks all the boxes.
It does.
Problem, market potential, and it's protected.
It is. The research is moving so fast, too.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder, like, what other amazing inventions are out there just waiting to be discovered?
It's exciting to think about.
Okay, so all these examples, the telephone, MP3, CRISPR, they all show us how a valuable patent, it's not just about legal stuff.
No.
It's about actually making a difference in the world.
That's the ultimate goal.
Right.
You're right.
Okay, so this has been super insightful, but I'm guessing our deep dive isn't over yet.
Not quite. In part three, we're going to shift gears a bit.
Yeah.
We're going to focus on you, the listener.
Okay.
How can you apply these power factors to your own journey, whether you're, you know, an inventor yourself or just curious about the world of patents?
All right. Welcome back to our deep dive finale. We've seen what makes a patent valuable, seen some real world examples, and now...
Now it's your turn.
It's our turn.
Yeah.
To figure out how we can actually use all this.
Exactly.
So let's rewind all the way back to the beginning.
Back to basics.
To that first power factor. Solving a real problem.
Right. That's where it all starts.
It all starts.
What problem are you passionate about? What keeps you up at night?
Yeah, what gets you fired up.
Exactly.
But it's got to be more than just like a cool gadget. Right.
Right. It can't just be a fun little project. It's got to address a real need.
A need that people are like actively looking for solutions to.
Exactly. That's where a valuable patent begins.
Okay. So we've found our problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got to make sure our solution actually like resonates with people.
Right. That invention market fit.
Invention market fit. Yeah. It's not enough to just have a great idea.
Nope. You got to know if people want it. Will they use it? Will they pay for it?
Talk to people. You know?
Yeah. Market research.
Get that feedback. Make sure you're actually solving a problem for real people.
If nobody wants it, it doesn't matter how cool your invention is.
Yeah, it goes nowhere.
And while you're doing that, don't forget to think big. Think about that market potential.
Market potential. Yeah. That was a big one.
Big one.
So the market needs to be like big enough.
Big enough to justify all the work you're going to put into this.
So it's like, you've got your problem you're solving.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the people who want the solution.
Right. And that overlap.
That sweet spot.
That's where the magic happens.
Okay. That makes sense.
The bigger that sweet spot, the better.
Right. So we've got our problem solving invention. It's got market fit.
Mm-hmm.
Huge potential.
Now we got to protect it.
Protect it. Right. Mm-hmm. Enforceable claims.
Yes. Those are your legal boundaries. Think of them like a fence.
A fence.
Okay. Around your property. Strong claims. Solid fence.
Got it.
Weak claims.
Holes in the fence.
Holes in the fence.
Anyone can just walk in.
Exactly.
And this is where, you know, having a good patent attorney really helps.
No, absolutely.
They can make sure your claims are strong, airtight.
Yeah. No loopholes.
All right. So our claims are strong. Our legal fortress is built. What's next?
Now we got to make sure we haven't accidentally built on someone else's land.
Freedom to operate?
Freedom to operate.
Yeah, we talked about those patent landmines.
Right. You got to do your research. Make sure you're not stepping on anyone's toes, patent-wise.
It's like checking the map before you go on a hike.
Exactly. You don't want to end up trespassing.
Okay. Makes sense. So we've done our due diligence. We're in the clear. Now what?
Now we can start thinking about making some money.
All right. Strategic licensing potential.
Strategic licensing potential.
So we're not necessarily building a factory ourselves.
Not necessarily.
We're finding the right partners to do that for us.
Exactly. You license your technology to companies who have the resources, the expertise.
They make it. They sell it.
They make it. They sell it. You collect those royalties.
And remember, the bigger our patent portfolio,
the better
that buffet of IP, the more attractive we are to those licensees.
Absolutely.
Okay, I like it. So we're making money. Our invention's out there.
Time to go global.
Global. All right. Protection power.
We're not just staying in our own backyard anymore.
So we're getting patents in other countries.
Yes. You got to protect your invention worldwide.
Because if we don't, someone else will.
Exactly. It's like, you know, you build this amazing house, but you forget to lock the door.
Anyone can just walk in.
Exactly. So we're thinking strategically, you know, which markets are most important.
Right. Tailor our strategy.
Yeah. It's like a global chess game.
All right. So we're protected worldwide. How do we keep those copycats away?
Ease of infringement detection.
Ease of infringement detection.
Yeah, this is key. We're making it super obvious if someone tries to copy us.
Give me an example.
Okay, imagine your invention has this, like, unique digital fingerprint.
Okay.
So if someone tries to make a knockoff, you can immediately tell.
And then we can take action.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got our global protection, our high-tech security system.
What's next?
What's next?
Stage of development.
Stage of development.
Remember, as your invention progresses, your patent's value goes up.
Right. It's not just about the idea anymore.
Nope. It's about showing that you're making it real.
Prototypes, testing, all that.
Exactly. The further along you are, the more valuable your patent becomes.
Okay, so we're constantly leveling up, making our patent stronger.
Exactly.
And now for the final piece.
The grand finale, bundle type patent portfolio.
Bundle type, yeah. The smartphone analogy.
The smartphone, exactly. We're not just patenting one thing.
We're building a whole ecosystem.
A whole ecosystem.
Of protection.
Multiple layers of security.
So it's like, it's almost impossible to copy us.
Almost impossible. And that makes your technology super valuable.
Okay. I'm getting it now.
Good.
This has been an incredible journey.
It has.
I feel like I have a whole new understanding of patents.
I hope so.
And how they can be used to, you know,
make a real difference.
Make a real difference. Exactly.
That's what it's all about.
So for all of you listening out there, whether you're an inventor, an entrepreneur, whatever, take these 10 power factors to heart.
Use them.
Use them.
To protect your ideas.
Protect your ideas.
And make your mark on the world.
Who knows? Maybe your invention will be the next one we feature here on The Deep Dive.
That's right.
That's it for our deep dive into valuable patents. We hope you enjoyed it.
We did.
And we'll see you next time.
See you then.
Thanks for listening to IP Management Voice. If there's any topic you'd like us to cover in this podcast or on the content platform Dplex, please get in contact and let us know.